First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 10th, 2013. Nevertheless.
Thank you very much. Today's sermon is titled, selected from one of the words in the verses that we just looked at, Nevertheless. Have you ever seen these? I don't know about you. I have somebody who believes that God created the heavens and the earth. So years and years ago, I was a young person, went to school, wasn't sure what I thought. Thought that, well, God created things, and then maybe He didn't. But no, I eventually changed and thinking, I believe God creates things. So when people sit down and say, where are the creation evidences? We have a fly, we have a bird, we have people looking around. We need to get children up there to hold hands and go from bulb to bulb. We'll work on that after church. We have a big lab. People say, where are the creation evidences? Where are the evolution evidences? And you know what? It's all the same evidence. The question is, how do you look at it? I wanted to illustrate that because this is Time Change Sunday. And Tom Hoyle, when he comes to speak here at church, he oftentimes has some Christian books and things to take home and look at. And well, we've got some of his books. We enjoy looking at them. And something that Mrs. Johnson is good at making sure that we do is we have family devotions when we're all together, which isn't always as often as we'd like. But the other day we were reading, and I asked to look at this, and we have a scripture reading that's inspired by geology. Since this is Clock Sunday, I thought this was appropriate to share with you. There are over 100 clocks that we can examine to get an idea of how long the earth has existed, clocks, using metaphorically as far as how we can measure things. Almost all of these timepieces show an earth that was created recently. For example, Earth's magnetic field is decreasing. Every 1,400 years, the field decreases by half. If you went back more than 10,000 years, the earth would have had the field of a magnetic star if everything was consistent. Life on earth wouldn't have been possible. Our oceans are becoming saltier every year. If the oceans of the world were a billion years old, as some of our friends claim they're more than that, the salt level would be as dead as the Dead Sea. The Mississippi River dumps tons of sediment into the Gulf of Mexico every year. The size of the delta could be explained in as little as 5,000 years. But if the Mississippi River was millions of years old, the delta would look very, very different. Most places on our earth, this is the last one I'll read, most places on our earth have about 6 inches of topsoil. This soil is from decayed vegetation and other forms of life that can be accounted for from a range from 5 to 20,000 years, which is approximately 6 inches of topsoil. If the earth was billions of years old, it should be much thicker. And I don't know if you remember, I can remember being a kid watching TV when Neil Armstrong stepped off the land now. Remember, there's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And part of the reason why he jumped, holding on to the ladder, is even though all these probes that they had showed very little dust on the moon, some of our scientist friends have said, you know what, if the moon is as old as they think it might be, 4.5 billion years old, there could be a foot or 2 feet of dust in some spots. So they were afraid he was going to sink. So when he jumped off and only went down about an inch, and then let go and walked around, walking in a light powder, well, they still are not explaining why there's that little bit of soil where there's no water or air to be moving it around. It should be a safe place. So there are signs that are there, if you will look, that can help you believe that the Bible is true, that God created the world not that long ago. When we look in our Bibles, if you're somebody who follows Christ, it can be very, very easy to look down, to look at truth, and see and understand. But if you look here, John chapter 12, verse 37, the verse that Russ read for us earlier today, speaking about Jesus, but although he had done so many signs before them, they, the group, the crowd, did not believe him. For most people, now these are people who were, if you remember our setting here, Jesus had done some miraculous things. Just a few days before this, Lazarus, his friend and relative, had been in the grave for 4 days. They were having wakes for him. People had come and paid their respects. They'd already had his funeral service. Lazarus here outside, and Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And there's, you know, how did this happen? And people were on their way to the Passover week, which is where we find Jesus here. He's had the triumphal entry. On the way to the Passover week, they stopped by Bethany and said, look, there's Lazarus. And Lazarus apparently came to the feast like everybody else. So there's Lazarus. Lazarus, you were dead. Yes, yes, I was dead there for a while, but Jesus came and I'm alive. And if you remember, the Bible says that many people believed on Jesus because of the testimony of Lazarus. But for most people, Jesus was just another, and you can fill in the blank. He's another teacher, another prophet, another glory seeker, another, you know, if I looked hard enough, I could understand. I love to watch magicians, prestidigitation, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes we've done some things here with the kids. No magic there. That was just science. How do they do that? Isn't that amazing? There's a show on cable sometimes where some magician gets in and shows how they do tricks. Wow, they just, oh, I should have thought of that. I should have seen that. And that's how some people were presenting Jesus, is that if they were smart enough, if they thought carefully enough, well, they'd understand what he was doing too. However, the masses of people, even people who would be exposed to some of Jesus' miraculous things, having fed thousands of people, having most exceptionally raised the dead, they saw that unbelief was what they had done, even though Jesus had done miraculous things. And that's the stress of these little section of verses. Although he had done so many signs. And just to remember, the Gospel of John speaks about signs. When we think of signs, these are things to point to Jesus to say that he is someone special. He is different than the rest of us. There were seven signs. Water to wine, heals the official's son, the lame walk, walking on water, feeding the multitudes, sight to the blind, Lazarus raised from the dead. Jesus had done these amazing, miraculous activities in front of people. They were not done secretly. Water to wine, they're like, how did that happen? And then the story gets out how. But many of the rest of these, they're just done while people are watching. And how could they miss it? But unbelief was the response when people saw Jesus. Last part of verse 37. They did not believe him. The language the Bible was written in is written in such a way to let us know that this was something that was continuous. It was constant. It was, if anything else, something that was not going to change. Not that it was getting any worse. But the point is that when people were confronted with truth, when Jesus would speak, when people would hear testimony, when they would meet people, remember there was a man who was born blind, who was healed, they brought him out and said, tell us, you know, how did you come to have your vision? And he says, this man, Jesus, he gave me sight. He said, you must be kidding me. No, no. And so the man is like, can you do this? Do you know anybody else who does this? And when confronted with truth, with testimony, with witness from his parents, yes, that's their son, he can't see, I don't know how he can see now. People willingly, constantly choose to ignore. They do not want to accept Jesus, his claims, and the things that he says. And as the brief period of time that he was active goes by, people actually seem to grow more callous and more insensitive. Because when you look at the miracles of Jesus, the previous slide we saw, first of whom it sings, water, and love. We talk about a magician. Well, maybe a guy can do a trick. But then he moves to most of these things are doing with people. And when you have someone who has limitations for most all of their life that have caused them problems, and suddenly they are different, how can you think that person didn't lay around in dust for 30 years just to have this moment in the sun? They would not have wanted to live that way. So now here are these people, we can gather testimony, we can gather a story out. It was him yesterday, so you could probably fill a little room with people that Jesus had done miraculous things with and for. And here they are, and what happens? People did not listen. People will say, well, if I just had a story, if you could give me some facts, if you could give me some evidence. But here, this tells us that facts, evidence, amazing things do not in and of themselves have the power to change people's minds. Now, yet there were a few, as we had mentioned, in John chapter 12, verse 11, there were some who, when they saw something, particularly the resurrection of Lazarus, coming back to life again, when they saw that and confronted with the truth, they went ahead and accepted and believed. Nevertheless, the Bible goes on and says, I love that picture. That's how a lot of people live their lives, sat on earth. There were some who saw, but they kept their opinion of Jesus to themselves. They did not, come here a little bit farther, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. These are people who, in their daily experience, they kept their opinion of Jesus to themselves. It would be a significant difference in those days of Jesus if the percentage, we don't know how many, of the Jewish ruling class would come out and say something. Nicodemus seems to be someone who came to a saving faith in Jesus. He approached Jesus by night. John chapter 3 gives that gateway that Jesus took when Nicodemus approached him and told the story, you must be born again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That section comes out of that discussion. Nicodemus asked a few questions, and when people spoke against him, put him down, harassed him a little bit, teased him a little bit, and he shut up. Because he did not want to rock the boat. He did not want people to think differently than him. In other words, as John here is very matter-of-fact, saying they loved, verse 43, the praise of men more than the praise of God. And why is that? I think it's very simply, it's due to fear. Because the word had gone out that if you trusted Christ, if you believed in Jesus, if you had this set of values, that you did not fit in the rest of society. And you might be put out from, so these people put out of their Jewish active life in the synagogue. But these same kinds of issues continue today, don't they? If you have a particular perspective on life and truth or morals and values that you can base on Scripture, this is what the Bible says. Perhaps people don't want you to say anything, or perhaps you're a little nervous to say anything because you're afraid that people will put you out of some aspect that's important to them. For us, perhaps that's the reason why, you know, we don't say so much. Yesterday, something struck me. I just have to tell my story about myself, how I missed an opportunity. Yesterday, we had a busy day, and I don't know, I kind of got freaked out. I went to that Starbucks over there on Redmond Way by QFC, and they have a little camera now. So when you pull up, this isn't our picture. There's other pictures like that on the web I found. You pull up, and all of a sudden, these people's face were on the screen. I was, I'm watching them as they take my order. I was with Barbara. Barbara got a coffee. I got tea because I wanted some tea. And there they are talking to me. I said, "Wow, I can see you." And they said, "Yes." And I said, "Can you see me?" And they said, "Yes." So I was very glad I wasn't doing something obnoxious like scratching my ear or something else. And I thought, we're seeing each other talking. So I pulled up to the window then to get our coffee. I said, "Wow, when did you guys start getting a camera?" "A camera? Why do we have a camera here?" And they said, "Well, they did studies and people said that they preferred looking." I said, "Wow, it kind of makes me nervous that I'm sitting out there ordering and you're watching me. I have to be careful when I go through the coffee lot." And so we ordered coffee, and something I have not been as careful to do, but I'm ready now, is when I've been going around town, you know, I haven't been driving that much since I got off my medication, but I used to leave stuff in the car, have stuff with me, because I would always give stuff, little papers to people. I hadn't been carrying them with me. And so yesterday when we got our coffee, when we get done, and I wanted her name, Annie, this one girl who's in my little window taking my picture, she comes up, there's a guy there, and then he gets me Barbara's coffee. Then Annie comes out and hands me my tea, and she says, "Hello, Pastor Johnston." And I thought, wow, these guys really have some tremendous RFID readers or something. They're reading my wallet. They're looking at my credit card. I mean, I pay with my account. And so that guy is the pastor of North Creek Baptist Church. He's in our fellowship. That is Jake Schaff, Jr. And he has gone to Romania like I have gone to Romania. And we've been to their church for things. I think he visited here one time to say hello. They came and Christmas caroled at our house a couple of years ago with their youth group. And I thought, wow. In fact, he's pointing to Romania on the globe right there, talking about a trip he was taking and stole it off the web. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, it was his daughter. And if I would have been ready, which I've got stuff in my bag now, I hadn't been putting stuff because I'm just not getting out enough, I didn't think. If I would have, so oftentimes when I pull up to coffee places, I have some kind of track. I have these humor tracks or scratch off cards that doesn't get in the way of the pastor, stuff you've had out. And if I would have had one of those and passed it out, here was a pastor's daughter who would have been right there, who would have been more prepared to talk to one of her co-workers. "Yeah, he's a pastor. My dad's a pastor." "Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's a gospel tract. You ever seen it?" So I'm thinking, I missed out on the chance so that she could have, intentionally or not, the two of us could have had a chance to be a good witness to the people that were in there. I wasn't ready. So that's what I was thinking of, is that I wasn't as prepared. Because God's good news of forgiveness for our sins through Christ is still the only way that people go to heaven. Some see this and take it as what it is, their lifeboat. How do you escape? And there's only one way, that's through the gospel. However, some people fear other people more than they do God. And even though, like in the story with Jesus there, most people still do nothing. You're talking about the gospel, you're talking about Christ, talking about truth. And like Jesus said, he said, even if one rises from the dead, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to believe. So for us, our mindset needs to be, you know what? When you witness to somebody, don't be surprised if they say no, because most people will. But God's plan for the age is for us to witness. That's the plan. So even if it's 1 out of 100, I've told you before, I knew a guy used to sell vacuums door to door. And he said, 1 out of every 44 presentations would sell a vacuum. And I thought, wow, imagine how many houses you have to go through to get a presentation and 44 to make a sale. So I don't know what the odds are as far as witnessing is, but you're going to have to witness a little while before you get a sale, before someone trusts Christ. So you have to be thick enough skin to deal with some rejection. And realize they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God to their own peril. But we can't be like these people. We can't be ignorant of what God is saying. And second, if we have the truth, we can't be more afraid of what people think of us than we are of the truth. Our scouting friends are going through some of this stuff on a national basis right now. What are they going to do? But the question is, what are we going to do? Are we ready, willing, and able to tell people about Christ, to share our faith? However you do it, whether it's by mouth or by a paper or by something, God tells us we need to share His truth. And it can be a scary thing. But we can't, as it says in verse 43, love the praise of man more than the praise of God. Because people will be unhappy. Sometimes, very rarely, has anyone been ever hostile to me. They just kind of smile and ignore it and move on. But we need to be people who are not afraid for people to disagree. And I say we should be more afraid of what happens to their souls if we don't do anything. Because Christ died for us. And as we transition to the Lord's table, as our gentlemen who will be waiting on us assemble in the back, realize that Christ died for us. As we'll be looking at, continuing as we look in the Gospel of John, Christ died for us because that was the means for us to receive God's blessing and help. There was no other way. So Christ obeyed His Father and did things that were uncomfortable for Him. Things that He said, Father, is there any other way? No, I understand. This is Your plan. I agree to it. I'll follow Your plan. Sometimes for us also, just the mere fact of putting ourselves out and saying, hey, this is what I think. This is what I believe. Who is Jesus to you? He's my Savior. We sing about Him at church. I read His Bible. I try to honor Him with everything that I do. You know, would you like me to tell you more? And I put you out, but it's just a conversation. And innately, we're nervous, we're afraid, we're shy, but we can't be so shy that we keep that secret.